Happy Monday. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29 San Antonio Spurs Zone. The NBA season is still on hold as the entire globe battles the COVID-19 virus. So far, it's still nothing new. The NBA last report projected to resume in June sometime, mid, late June. But, you know, obviously that can change at any moment depending on this outbreak that, as mentioned, you know, the globe is fighting against. Fortunately, your San Antonio Spurs, there's been no announcement that any player has caught the virus or just anybody from the organization. So that's a good sign, although other players have come out and said, yeah, I got it. Look at Donovan Mitchell, Kevin Durant, Christian Wood from the Pistons, et cetera, et cetera. So, the NBA is still on hiatus. And we here at the Spurs are a little fun with the fact there have been no Spurs games. I'm pretty sure you all are aware of. Spurs Zone has been doing game simulations. That could have happened if the Spurs faced Denver following the win over Dallas right before the practice. Spurs got the win. I believe there's only been one loss in simulations since the NBA went on hiatus. And but the Spurs, at least according to game simulations, are on an incredible run right now. At last check, they're about 5-1, 4-1. So who knows? Maybe if those simulations came out true, maybe the Spurs could be challenging for that 8th seed. But, of course, with game simulations comes that segment of Spurs fans that kind of are skeptical. Oh, yeah, Jeff, yeah, sure. The Spurs would have beaten Denver. Yeah, the Spurs would have beaten Utah, sure. But believe it or not, I've bounced a few games simulated to several people, and they all come out to the same outcome. Yeah, the Spurs would have won these last games. So on today's show, we're going to have a little bit of fun. What goes into a game simulation? How does the product, is it simply skew the stats, or is it simply, hey, there's some thought into this. You know, we're going to build these guys. We're going to make sure that DeMar doesn't take that many threes, but, you know, he's definitely taking mid-rangers. Yeah, we're going to account for DeJounte Murray's so-so-ness from the three-point line, et cetera, et cetera. So I figure what better way to do that than bring on a friend of the Spurs Zone. He is an up-and-coming esports play-by-play announcer, Adam Carreno. Adam, welcome back to welcome to Locked On Spurs, excuse me. And by the way, I appreciate your help so far helping me run these simulations.
Yeah, not a problem. I appreciate you having me on, Jeff. Just kind of helping me, kind of share these simulations with everybody.
Now, you're no stranger to simulations. You're actually on your Twitter, via your Periscope, et cetera. You've actually been broadcasting simulated games and you doing the play-by-play / color. How has that been for you?
Yeah, so I've actually gotten a lot of positive feedback on it. I was a little nervous at first just to kind of do it, but I figured, you know, with everybody kind of sitting at home, what else is there to do? So let me just go ahead and try something. You know, I've been a local play-by-play commentator for high school sports for, you know, years past. So I just decided, mm-hmm. you know, let me try and give something that, you know, people would be more familiar with, like the Spurs, and just kind of see how well it would do. The first broadcast actually got a lot of feedback on it. I put a little vote to see if they'd want me to continue it. And, you know, the general public basically all said yes. I mean, it wasn't a great amount of votes. It was under 30, but I mean, everybody said yes. So I decided, you know, we'll just keep it up.
Yeah. And look, again, you know, I brought you on because you have some familiarity with simulated games. You know, you've been doing obviously the NBA 2K20 because basically, you know, that's what pretty much everybody leans to when it comes to video games / NBA games, NBA 2K20. I cover the league in NBA 2K league. I've actually asked a couple of guys that play with the league about these sims, and they've said, like, sometimes, you know, they get pretty close, you know, how intense and how detailed the programming can be. In your experience, when it comes to these NBA 2K20s, these simulations, do you see, like, hey, you know, sometimes it's almost scary true, like, the outcomes are kind of almost on spot in for the real NBA games?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the first time that I just kind of toyed around with it, it was just, you know, a couple of buddies of mine. We didn't have sports, so we just threw it on. We didn't broadcast it or anything like that, but we wanted to see what a simulation would be like between, you know, the Spurs and the Warriors. using, you know, classic teams. So it was the 2015-16 Warriors and the 13-14 Spurs. And in classic Spurs fashion, they went up by 20 and then lost the lead immediately in the fourth quarter. So the fourth quarter was just neck and neck, and we were all sitting there like, wow, this feels like such a real Spurs game because of that. And, you know, not to dog on the Spurs, you know, third quarter woes, but that's just kind of how it's been for the last few years, and it's kind of something we've grown accustomed to and had to, you know, kind of deal with. And so seeing that through a computer simulation really kind of opened our eyes to just how accurate it could be.
Now, you mentioned you do some play-by-play. Is it just basketball or other games?
So for the simulation, it's just basketball. In, you know, life, I actually did football as well, which is where I got my start out in, you know, Karnes City, Texas.
Oh, I visited Karnes City quite a bit. It's a very small little town.
Yeah, there was a radio station by the name of No Bull Radio Broadcast, and you know, fortunate enough that I had somebody in the business to kind of throw my name out there. They gave me a tryout and kept me on for the season, and it's just been kind of progressing from there. I've kind of jumped around to different small towns, Dilley, Texas, Navarro High School out in Seguin. So it's been a fun little ride to kind of start it out.
Well, let's before we get into the meat of the show, basically what goes into the simulations that you run, not only for the Spurs Zone, but for yourself when it comes to the San Antonio Spurs, how much have you seen these video games, these, you know, because let's be honest, Adam, esports is not just what it used to be in the sense of, oh, you play Madden, that's cute. Now it's serious business. There's tournaments. There's big money to be made in these type of esports genres. You know, there's the NBA 2K League, you know, that's starting to get some popularity. It's gaining traction. You even heard recently NFL. The NFL is getting into esports with their video game and e-game season/league starting up. This is not what it used to be when it comes to esports, is it, Adam?
No, not at all. And, you know, kind of started with the game. Well, I kind of noticed it with the game Overwatch and how people started watching Overwatch, you know, I don't want to say religiously, but, you know, pretty intensely. And it really didn't kind of, you know, I kind of brushed it off as just like, okay, this is kind of a one-time phenomenon. But once I started seeing that, like, NBA teams and 2K League really wanted to start, you know, pouring money into it and started making this a real thing by having – the one I can think of the most is, like, the Dallas Mavericks and the Milwaukee Bucks having their teams. Mm-hmm. And, of course, other NBA teams have them as well. Like, once I saw that, it was just – I started to realize that this is – you know, it's not just people playing video games. This is, like – this is what, I don't want to say the future is going to be, but it's going to have a hand in it. You know, there's going to be a lot of esports that are going to have a lot of viewership, and it's only going to continue to rise.
Yeah, it definitely is on the rise. And I recently, wasn't there a Fortnite tournament where some teenager won like a million or just a little over $1 million?
It was
a Fortnite Cup, something like that. And it was in New York City. I think it was out in Queens in one of the bigger arenas. And the turnout was huge. So, yeah, these esports things are definitely starting to turn. It's serious business. And, you know, when I was growing up, it was put down the video game controller. You're not going to do anything in life with that. Now it's
exactly.
Pick up the video game controller. Yeah, now it's pick up the video game controller and get to work because you could become a professional e-gamer. But let me ask you, though, as far as you do, as far as the play-by-play, can you see play-by-play esports announcers being a thing? Like, that's like kind of a coveted job or you know, a thing to do later on in life?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I've been fortunate enough to have a friend of mine named Diego kind of be in my ear about this. He's been showing me clips of, like, when he was trying to get me into esports, of clips of, like, you know, top 10 commentators for not just sports games, but like the other ones, like you were saying, like Fortnite, like Call of Duty, like Apex Predators. And just, you know, they have the same kind of intensity over the waves, over the radio waves, in their voice that kind of brings you to enjoy it a little bit more. It's not just watching somebody play a video game. You have that excitement of somebody, you know, kind of bringing you the feel to your speakers.
Yeah, I actually know the NBA 2K League play-by-play announcer, Scott Cole. Gotten to know him well, and he's one of the best up there. You know, he only does the esports NBA 2K League. He does NASCAR. He does other sporting events. So, yeah, this is a serious thing. So some of the feedback I've gotten from the simulations that the Spurs Zone has ran with your help, you know, it's kind of been like, what is this? Laugh, laugh, ha, 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 what is this, a joke? No, it's not. And I think that's the tone of our first talk right now in this first segment, is that esports, e-gaming is a big thing. It's not something to scoff at. Adam, the pot for the NBA 2K League last year was a well over $1 million for these guys. Obviously, wow, they divvy it up. But remember, they get about a base $35,000 per player, okay? But that does not include your in-game tournaments. Obviously, if you go to the playoffs, there's bonuses there. If you win it all, there is a big chunk there. And, of course, picking up some sponsorships. I think Dimes from the Mavs Gaming, he became the first one to get a serious sponsorship from an e-gaming company. I believe it was the e-gaming chairs. So his name is plastered all over like Times Square in New York City. So again, we got to reinforce this, that esports is nothing to scoff at. These e-simulated NBA games, believe it or not, some other outlets, media outlets, run them. A friend of mine know that runs a Pistons website, he uses simulated games before the Pistons step off to get a feel for what the game is going to be like. So, Adam, we cannot stress enough that this is not a bunch of kids in the basement, is it?
No, not at all. I mean, there is a lot of thought that goes into it. So, it's not just let's just hit play and see what happens. I mean, it can be if you want it to, but if you want to get it a little bit more accurate, you have the ability to kind of toy and tinker with everything you need to.
And I couldn't think of a perfect segue. When we get back, Adam and I are now going to focus on the San Antonio Spurs simulated game, since the NBA has been on hiatus, and what goes into this. And believe it or not, it's not as simple as Adam just said right now. Press play and go. We'll be right back. We're back, and I'm joined by rising esports play-by-play announcer Adam Carreno. Adam, how can they find you on social media?
Yeah, sure. So my main social media outlet is Twitter. I love Twitter. You can find me at ARC34 underscore. That underscore is very important at the end. you can also check out the broadcast on Mixer. The username is xcarreno, C-A-R-R-E-N-O, X. You can just type that all in as one word. Those are going to be your two best media outlets to find me.
Yeah, definitely a watch when there are Spurs games. But by the way, I like what you do. You kind of set them around the time the Spurs would have tipped off. Now, I think that's pretty cool to get people still into that vibe, that groove of, okay, I get out of work. No, in a couple of hours, the Spurs are going to tip off. It's kind of the same thing you do. Okay, at least in this day and age right now, when I log off of work because everybody's working from home, I can look forward to Adam to call a simulated Spurs game. And by the way, you do a bang up job. I've listened to / seen some of your work. Really, really good. And I like how you bring a feel, realism to it. I think DeJounte Murray, one of your Sims, went up for a jumper, and you called the plays leading up to that. What I mean by that, you were calling, forgive me who it was, but a player was pushing the ball up. They gave it, I think it was Pirtle, and then you were calling picks too. You're like, and he sets the pick, and he gives it up to Murray, and Murray goes up for the shot, and he makes it. You did a real good job, man.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, I actually, I kind of got inspired by Bill Schoening, the Spurs radio play-by-play broadcaster. So that's kind of my style, is more so like I'm going to describe it in a way that where if you weren't looking at the screen, you're still going to understand the gist of it. Whereas, normally if you're watching a game on TV, you can kind of have a lull. You can just kind of say who has the ball, Murray. Finds Aldridge, and kind of slow it down, but it just hasn't been my style since I started. I want to kind of give you that detail, and really it's just the more I talk, I feel like the better I can, paint that picture for you.
All right, well, let's go ahead and dive into those simulated Spurs games. By the time people are listening to this, yesterday's sim already went out, Spurs versus Jazz. Yesterday, the Spurs would have hosted Utah in a home-and-home. So tonight, or next game, which the Spurs would have gone to Utah, but as far as the game at home versus the Jazz, you predicted a win for San Antonio. At least the simulation predicted a win.
Right.
Let's start off with the bare bones. You're telling the kid, okay, this is how you run a sim. what goes into it? Because I think a lot of the listeners and the readers and those who go to the Spurs Zone see your sims, you know, they don't understand like what goes behind them. So when you create a sim, what's the first thing you do?
Yeah, so, I mean, you definitely want to take into account. I mean, it's a little bit harder now because the season isn't going, but you want to take into account the minutes that players are actually playing in real life. You want to try and make that match up as, you know, as best you can to kind of get that accurate feeling into it. You can kind of look at, you know, the beauty about 2K is it gives you the option to pick who you want the primary scorer to be, the secondary scorer to be, and even go as far as the third scorer on the court. So that way it gives you the option to say, like, you know, if DeMar DeRozan is covered, it's not just going to be like a frenzy free-for-all. The computer's not going to know what to do. It has a second or third option to kind of go to.
Right, and I believe in the sim you ran for Spurs Jazz, you had, I think it was DeMar as the primary scorer. Okay.
And you see that now, a lot. I mean, the Spurs do play a lot of ISO ball with DeMar, so that's, I mean, kind of have to do that.
Okay, yeah, thank you. In my mind, then I would say, yeah, so you probably run the usage rates in real life because mm-hmm. obviously, you know, DeMar is one of the, not the top usage rate guy for the Spurs on the roster. Likely number two has to be LaMarcus Aldridge, correct?
Right.
And when does it get tricky? Does it get tricky after the third primary score? Is that when you're saying, okay, it could be White, it could be Murray, it could be Rudy Gay? How do you factor that in?
So, yeah, that one is kind of a toss-up, I'm not going to lie, because, you know, it's going to be different every time. The Spurs don't necessarily have a primary third option. You know, it's not like back in the day where it was Tim, Tony, Manu, and that's exactly who you know was going to run – the play was going to be run through. It's a little bit different now, especially because we do have a lot of young guys. We are potentially in the midst of a roster shift. So it's kind of been experimental throughout the – at least the second half of the season. So it's, like I said, it's a little bit of a toss-up to kind of gather who that third option would be. But, you know, it's just you got to think if in a situation like this where, you know, Jakob Poeltl is out and he's been a primary center, you got to think who would be the next person to kind of step up in that role and what does that mean for the rest of the team and how their play would be.
How much does injury factor in? Now, before the NBA went on hiatus, Murray and Poeltl were the ones that were on the IR. And they obviously, you know, we don't know when they're coming back. Poeltl, at least he publicly said he was not going to come out back on the court until about 2 to 4 weeks, although the Spurs didn't confirm that. Same thing for Murray, you know, he got hurt right before the break. We didn't know when he was going to come back. Do you factor that in, or is it pretty much, hey, let's just go with the full roster, IR be damned?
So I try and do my best to do that. I know for this past simulation, I left Murray on the lineup, but I had Jakob off. And that, you know, I don't really have an answer as to why I did one but not the other, in all honesty. But that's what I try and do as much as possible. The only thing about it is sometimes the simulation, even if you have a player, you know, turn down all his minutes, you can't necessarily say if he's on injury reserve, it won't let you. So you just have to tinker with that as best as you can. But mm-hmm. They may still leak in the game. So mm-hmm. you just kind of have to factor for that. But for the most part, I try and give as accurate as I can to kind of make it feel like a real-life game.
Does the simulation take into account home court advantage, in this case San Antonio playing at the AT&T Center, or is that pretty much a non-factor?
No, I mean, as far as, you know, gameplay, it does. You know, when the crowd has home court advantage and they have that, you know, factor of, you know, we're into this game, it's a close game, we want to, you know, put that energy behind our team's back, it actually goes into, especially like when they're shooting free throws, the opposing team is shooting free throws, it kind of like has a shaky camera angle, and it actually does affect the computer, believe it or not. Like, you might not think it does, and you know it's all numbers, but it does affect the computer in late game situations. They might miss those free throws, maybe even both. So it's not just automatic every time.
Now let's talk about player builds. That's big in the NBA 2K League world. That's huge, you know. Especially for the team that I cover in the NBA 2K League, they're always talking about your build. You know, who's your build? Are you giving more speed? Are you doing more, shooting? Are you sacrificing this and that? Does that same type of approach happen in these simulated games? So let's take an example for DeRozan. Now we know he loves the mid range, so we'll tinker with that. But we know he's kind of on the 3-point line. Do you tinker with that? How does that work when it comes to player builds in your simulations, Adam?
So 2K does a good job of trying to make those shooting percentages pretty accurate. You know, DeMar DeRozan isn't a great three-point shooter when he's pressured, has a little bit more flexibility when it's a wide open shot. Don't get me wrong, he does choose to pass up and try and dribble in to get that, you know, more higher percentage shot for him. But he does have the ability to knock those down. But you see that in the game. If he's covered, he either won't take that shot or, you know, it's most likely going to be a forced miss. But it's a little bit different. It's more so 50-50 if he's shooting a wide open jumper. So that's kind of one of the good things that I do like about it is that since 2K has been on top of, you know, shooting percentages from not just, you know, as simple as two-pointer to three-pointer, they break it down by section. So you have corner mid-range, corner threes, free throw line extended, top of the key, and each one of those is different, and it's easier to kind of help take that into account.
Let's talk about the opposition. So we'll use the Jazz, for example. Again, in your simulated game you did for the Spurs zone, you had Utah losing to San Antonio, and you know it was kind of a closest game. By the time people are listening to this, the final simulated score was Spurs got the win, 102-95 over the Jazz. How do you factor in the opposition? Do you do the exact same thing with Spurs when you're building up the roster? Or do you let pretty much the computer take over that? Or you know, how does that work?
So you can go in, and don't get me wrong, I might not know the best options for it, so I kind of let 2K take over who the one, two, three shooting options would be. But you can still kind of go in and look at, you know, NBA, you know, references.com and kind of see what their usage is and how many minutes of game they're getting, and you can edit that and factor that into the simulation. So that way, at least on that factor, it is accurate. And although, again, I might not be the biggest Jazz fan, so I don't know who the go-tos are behind Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gay down low. But like I said, 2K does a good job of updating those things up to this point while we had games. So we are as accurate as about 2 weeks ago. So there's not too much that you'd have to tinker with after that.
The bottom line is this, is that you know, this is for those who have been asking me, you know, like, will whoop-de-doo a sim game? You know, they really, like I said, they really think it's just press play and go. The bottom line is this, there's some thought into these simulations, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it just kind of depends on who's running the simulation and how they want to make that broadcast sound and how they want to address it to their audience. But if you want to try and get a feel for what the game, how it would go down before tip, like you said, I think the Pistons do it every game before tip off just to kind of see how it goes, then yeah, there's a lot of thought process to go into it because there's a lot you have to factor for.
Yeah, and you know, for the Spurs simulated win over the Utah Jazz, obviously we got your simulation saying the Spurs would have won 102-95. And again, because leading up to that game that we're going to simulate, you know, again, a lot of pushback, you know, from fans saying, whoop-de-doo, yeah, DeMar DeRozan really had 34 points. So I asked another friend of Spurs Zone and the e-gaming world, the NACL, which is the National Collegiate E-Gaming League, asked him, hey, run the sim. Let's just see what happens. I didn't want you to know, and I didn't want them to know that you were running the sim and that they knew that you were running the sim. I just really wanted to see, is this thing accurate? Believe it or not, both you and NACL ran a simulation, and the Spurs still got the win. Talked about the Spurs win in your simulation. In the NACL simulation, Spurs beat the Jazz 119-71. So again, you're seeing the Spurs scoring well above 100. You're seeing the Spurs defense in the simulation hold the Jazz to under 100. I thought that was pretty interesting that how similar the results were coming off. 100-plus points scoring from the Spurs from you and from NACL. Holding the Jazz under 100 points from you and NACL. So there's kind of a wider sample right there. And does that surprise you, Adam, to find out that,
No.
hey, another sim ran the exact same outcome?
No, not at all. I mean, granted, you don't expect it to be exactly the same in terms of score, and maybe you can even have a difference in win losses, but no, for the most part, it's pretty accurate. And, you know, numbers don't lie in that sense. And you got to think that's why if you know, look back at baseball, what how the Astros won with Moneyball, so to speak, you know, getting people who can do this on a consistent basis, is really going to reflect how it is. And the same thing goes into a simulation. You know, if you reflect the numbers how they really would be in real life, there's not too much variation that can happen. Now, obviously, you know, every once in a while the Spurs will get that loss or vice versa. Sometimes it could be a blowout, but for the most part, it's going to be pretty accurate. You know, I'd say 8 times out of 10.
That was amazing. So when I finally got your result and I got the NACL's result, I was like, holy moly, you know, okay, here we go. I really wanted to keep you two in the dark. So there's no like, oh my God, what if he's going to run this or what they're going to run this? No, I just want to see genuinely, let's see what happens. And boom, two simulations, two independent sources come out with the Spurs win over the Jazz. So, hey, is there proof in the pudding? Maybe. Yeah, but you know what, Adam? Since the Spurs season went on hiatus, in the last games that they lost, well, you know what I mean, lost because of the coronavirus, not physically lost, but they've only lost one game. All the simulations say the Spurs would have been on a winning, pretty much on a good solid win spread right now with one loss, and they could have caught up in the 8 seed chase. So who knows? Maybe if this NBA does resume play and they pick up where they left off, maybe the Spurs do it. I don't know. Obviously, there's so many human factors now. The rest and versus the rust, you know, getting back in the swing of things, the mental aspect of it. But hey, at this point, Adam, we'll take any type of Spurs winning ways, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. And you know what? Here's food for thought for you too. If you were one of those Spurs fans that were like myself, rooting for the Spurs to hit that 8th seed and get that 23 playoff streak, and kind of use the NBA suspension as an excuse to like, hey, the streak's still alive. Well, this is your chance to kind of see exactly what you mean. You know, when we had that faith that our Spurs could have kind of fought back to get to that 8th seed, well, here's your chance to kind of see it. I don't want to say in real time, but in simulated time. Spurs have only lost one since, and this is something to kind of root for. Like, yeah, in the simulation, proof's in the pudding. Like you said, we would have made that playoff spot. We would have kept that streak alive. So, you know, even if you're not interested in actually watching the simulation itself, just keep up with it and you can see, you can prove your friend, hey, we were right. So I told you, I didn't mistake.
Well, there you go. Look at Adam being the optimistic that he is. All right, when we get back, Adam and I are going to continue our chat about simulated San Antonio Spurs. We're back and I'm joined by Adam Carreño. He is an esports play-by-play broadcaster, and he's done simulation not only for himself and live play-by-play broadcasts of Spurs games that have been lost due to the coronavirus. He's also in some help for the Spurs Zone, running a simulated win over Utah. So, hey, there you go. At this point, listeners, there's no NBA action. This is the closest you're going to get to it, because there's only so much reruns you can run, Adam, on NBA TV, because you already know the outcome. You know, Spurs versus Miami Heat in 2014. Yeah, we know what happened. You know, they won the title. But in these, we don't know. We don't know if the play-by-play sim you're running has the Spurs winning or not. So they're good to go, and you bring that energy as well. Adam, before we put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs, one more time, tell everybody how they can follow you on social media.
Right. You can find me, guys, on Twitter at ARC34 underscore. Again, that underscore is very important to find me. My handle is just AC. So easy to find me. Again, you can also find me on Mixer, which is kind of the opposite of Twitch. But Mixer, username X.NOCARRENOX.
And we're broadcasting the next game at Utah?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And again, they can just go to that Twitter or Mixer and they can see it there.
Absolutely. So I do my best to do it live. Like you said, I want to try and get it at an accurate time. So as of right now, I've been doing it either at 8 or 7 o'clock central. I let everybody know out, you know, well before the tip-off time, so that way they can get adjusted if they want to tune in live. But the replay is there in case you kind of miss it and want to go back and see just how it went down and, you know, actually watch virtual basketball 12-minute quarters.
Yeah, and it's just like NBA games. Do not let the whole virtual animated thing throw you off, listeners. It feels just like there's player intro lineups. There's not a joke. There's literally Bryn Forbes coming off that bench and giving high fives to his teammates. Same for DeMar DeRozan. The lights are off in the AT&T Center. It's like an NBA game. You should definitely go check out Adam's feed whenever he does launch next game at Utah. But am I right there, Adam? I mean, it's very similar to an NBA game.
Yeah, like I said, I will say the only difference, the only thing that's maybe not accurate about these simulated games is during the timeouts, the Silver Dancers are still coming out.
Oh, no way, for real?
Yeah, you'll see, you know, the cheerleaders coming out. And it might not necessarily be the Silver Dancers, but just kind of generic cheerleaders that they'll put for every team. But now that we have team energy, it's a little bit more mix and match, whereas, you know, you'll see the broadcast and it'll show the Silver Dancers. And the good thing about virtual play is that I can kind of skip over that, so we're not having to wait a full 60 seconds for a timeout. It's usually cut off after about 10 seconds. But if you're paying attention, you'll see those glimpses.
That's funny. All right, so the Spurs will next face Utah had the season not been put on hiatus. What do you think, Adam? You think your simulation will predict a Spurs win or a Spurs loss?
I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here, but just the way that the Spurs season has kind of been up and down, I can see them losing this simulation, giving them their second simulated loss. But, you know, anything could happen. You just got to tune in to find out.
There you go. And again, you can watch Adam's next broadcast on his Twitter. As for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Go to the Spurs Zone News for San Antonio at Fox29SanAntonio.com. And just because the NBA is on hiatus does not mean we are providing you as much Spurs news as we can, whether it be how the coronavirus is impacting the Spurs player on a personal level from Marco Bellinelli, obviously, even Jakob Poeltl. It's all there at the Spurs Zone, including these simulations where you can watch Adam's play-by-play at the Spurs Zone. And yeah, everything else under the sun while the Spurs are on hold because of the virus. So for Adam Carreño, I am Jeff Garcia. A lot, or maybe we should say, put a simulated lock, Adam, on this episode of Locked On Spurs.